Well, welcome to the message for the online service. And also, very similar message that I'll bring Sunday morning live and in person in church. And if you can make it, we'd sure love to see you in person. But in the meantime, we have this wonderful thing that Phil allows us to do called the Internet and the Bethel United Methodist Church website. Pray you're enjoying it. If you have any comments, certainly send Phil a little note. He'd love to hear from you. But I've been thinking, what is the right way to pray? Now, this week we're looking at Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And it's a different version of when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Because they were struggling with all kinds of things, too. And they realized that when Jesus prayed, things happened, things changed it. And, you know, I think that we are modern-day disciples. Now, I don't know exactly all the things that Jesus' disciples went through, but they were frustrated and they want to know how to pray. And then I was thinking about us as modern-day disciples. How do we wrestle with issues such as death and grief and disillusionment and addiction, interpersonal struggles? Do we explore ways in which we anchor and define our identity and celebrate the determination and persistence that drives us to keep on moving forward into an uncertain future? Well, even in the face of despair, well, in our culture today, most of us are dealing with some kind of grief. For some of us, it may be personal, and other lives are often filled with worries and stresses and relationships and complications and struggles to find our place in this old wide, wide world. Then others of us may feel conflicted, fearful, sad, mournful about the afflictions of our neighbors and others within our country and around the world, while violence and oppression and dissension it flourishes. Still, others may simply be searching for a greater purpose, a more fulfilling life, a more foundational sense of our identity. Whatever our challenges and whatever our journey is, walking with Jesus, though it can be difficult at times and even different, but the scripture in Luke today seems to caution us to perhaps, as we see Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them the right way to pray. Because they were praying like John the Baptist taught them. And he wanted to know, what's the right way to pray, Lord? Teach us your way. Now, it's not quite as confusing when we understand that the Jewish faith has and still has a significant prayer life for various purposes. You see them at the Wailing Wall for hours. And prayer was an important part of daily life. First century Jews would typically pray three times a day, 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Outside of these daily ritual prayers, they would encourage and engage in other ritualistic prayers, you know, like surrounding the time together with a meal, or during holiday feasts, or more importantly, on the Sabbath, or in time of mourning, and also more important, in a time of worship. For the Jewish people, ritual prayer is a part of their way of worshiping and living. In their hearts, it demonstrates their service to God and recognizing God as the center of their life, as well as being Jesus' way, including this concept of way. Well, you know, I have a podcast entitled The Word is the Way to Life, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to know the Jesus way because it brings us life and how we can have it more abundantly, but I digress. In this part of Luke's Gospel, Jesus seems to be addressing prayer amidst of numerous various teaching topics, because he did a lot of it. He addressed all kinds of prayers, all magnifying, provision, and the power of God. And the first example of prayer Jesus offers is a ritualistic type daily prayer in the Jewish tradition. The prayer we call the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. draws much attention to the Jewish, the Aramaic, and all the people of first century, the time as they got together for prayer, because the entire purpose of the Lord's Prayer seems to echo these prayers that just praise God and longing for God's kingdom to be established. And then the second part of the prayer that Jesus taught, having to do with daily provision, forgiveness, both to the stem from and also from the Jewish prayers and the Aramaic prayers. And it also emphasizes God's kindness and provision and healing and a saving nature. In the final lines of the prayer, not present in Luke's gospel, it also appears to echo the vow of the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. You know, it's kind of like a loyalty pledge to God. These three prayers emphasize the most important elements of the Jewish prayer tradition and the Christian prayer tradition in our day and time, because we have all of this as something to fall back on, because Jesus taught it, we accept it, and we do it. Now, Jesus seems to be explaining to his disciples of the day the importance of daily prayer that honor God and keeping the attributes of God in mind, and keeping the heart aligned to God. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But Jesus adds these ritual prayers, you know, like another kind of prayer. And the idea of praying to God, as King David did and others, and on a very personal level. But for Jesus, God is like a parent to us. And we can and we must ask the heavenly parent in prayer for needs that we feel as though is urgent and important to us. In Luke's message, Jesus urges us to seek God's presence, pray persistently and often for those needs that matter to us, and to trust God that he will listen and act on our behalf. Amen? Now, Jesus gives us some examples how the human heart may be moved to caring in action. And then he notes that God is so much greater, more benevolent, more caring, more responsive than any other human being. Wow. Whereas humans struggle with selfish motives, God cares deeply for all of creation and will always give good gifts and give abundantly to those who seek, knock, and pray with earnest. Jesus also wants us to know that prayer matters, and that praying multiple times a day is just not an empty ritual, but it's a deeply and personal, meaningful, connective endeavor that helps us not only stay close to God, but to let God know of our needs and all the needs of others. I don't know about you, but I find myself praying all day long, not necessarily with verbal words or walking or talking to God as I move around my daily routine, but God knows my heart. Most of all, Jesus bids us to ask for that guidance through the grace and the love of, you know who he is, the Holy Spirit. Now, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus tells his disciples that. And praying for a movement and the power and the wisdom and the infusion of the Holy Spirit, I think, is the most powerful prayer that we can pray. For in trusting in the Holy Spirit, we put ourselves fully into the hands of God, willing to follow God's will no matter what God decides, but inviting the Holy Spirit in our lives, we open ourselves up and the subjects of our prayer to the dynamic, saving, healing, challenging power of God, to God's divine intervention in our life, and more importantly, in the lives of others as we pray intercessory prayer. So to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, it takes deep faith and trust, no doubt, in God's loving and caring spirit, in God's wisdom and mercy, and in God's ability to transform and to move and to change and to act within our world that we live in. But I love the buts and the ifs. But Jesus assures us that we put our faith and trust in God and ask for God's intervention, God will answer. God will act. And he does. The act of prayer for Jesus is a humble and humbling activity. From the lines that Jesus emphasizes, which declares God's magnanimous grace, is personalization of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We become vitally aware of our place in God's expansive kingdom, a kingdom which goes far beyond what we understand in our world, and yet a God who invests deeply in each and every one of us. Oh, this small yet important piece of teaching, I think Luke introduces us to regarding the manner in which we should pray. It helps us to understand the kind of relationship with God that Jesus imagined for all of us. You know, you heard me talk about before, sometimes in our life relationship with God, we need to let our imagination take us to some of the places. Because Jesus imagines for us, all of us, a deeply personal encounter in which every one of us is treated as a cherished son or daughter of God. Wow! For all of us, God is a good parent. Unlike us human parents and us human beings, sometimes with all of our flaws and selfish motives, it's safe for us to be in a personal relationship with God, isn't it? It's safe for us to put our trust in God, and it's safe for us to express our deepest and most vulnerable needs to God and to lean on God for sustenance, our comfort, and more important, our transformation. Wow. Because God cannot help us unless and until we open our heart to God's Holy Spirit and that transformational power. But guess what? When we do, we will know God in an entirely and new, personal, and powerful way. Jesus knows how hard it is for us to trust. You know, He experienced everything we did. That's what makes Him the perfect intercessor. He come into this world as a baby. He grew in wisdom and stature, and He got growed up, and then He went and got baptized, and you know, then all the... You know His story. Our human world can be fickle, and He participated in our human world, and we can easily get hurt. We can easily be rejected, and we can easily be pushed aside by those who claim to love us and to care for us. But Jesus tells us in this passage, and again, in countless ways throughout the Gospels, that our relationship with God is different. We can trust in God, and God will never abandon us nor deceive us, for we are His beloved. He created us in His image. So if there's anything that we can learn from Jesus as He teaches us to pray, is this, that God cares for us beyond any of our expectations. And God wants a relationship with each and every one of us, a relationship that is personal and close and devoted, and more importantly, humble. And God will not disappoint. So all of us must learn from Jesus how to pray. Not with demands or expectation, or not with arrogance or selfish inclinations, but when we lean on God, asking intently and intentionally for God's intervention in our lives, and when we recognize God's power and put our faith in God's love, when we allow ourselves to depend on God's provision and believe in God's power to change, to heal, to resurrection, and more importantly, to intervene. God will answer. And God's solution are always superseded by any imaginable outcome that we could possibly imagine. So this is what I want to leave us with today as we continue to learn how to pray and to practice all the things that Jesus is teaching us about His Father and about the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you to pray. Pray fervently. Pray intentionally. Pray consistently. Pray persistently. And may God bless your heart and your life with all of your petitions. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God loves you, and so do I.